السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، والحمد لله حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الصادق الأمين وآله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم آمين. Let me, inshallah ta'ala, at this point maybe almost take us to a different dimension, more even practical than what we've been so far establishing, and then I come back to more of the discourse pertaining to Tazkiyatun Nafs and to Mujahada, because they are essential in teaching us what we are about and in providing that wake up call for us and that energy. And the practical question that I want to now deal with at some level, I know that it lingers in the minds of everyone. I know that sometimes though the answer is simple, we do not realize its simplicity because of that conflict with the nafs still, and because of the state in which we are. Namely, why do I find it very difficult? Why do I find mujahada very difficult? Why do I find mujahada very difficult? Why do I find going against my nafs very difficult? Why do I find obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very difficult? Why do I find indulging in shahawat and following my hawa and shahawat in particular, why do I find it easier? Even though I'm learning, some would argue I've been learning about these things, alhamdulillah, in these retreats, I have been trying to focus, I still find it very hard. Sometimes I really fail. Isn't it the ultimate question that everyone asks? Well, number one, going back to the scheme because it is fundamental and essential. Have I been exposing myself to a regular intake of ilm, to a regular diet of ilm? Or not? Or only occasional, once a month or once a week? And diet of ilm, what type of ilm have I been exposing myself to? Is that ilm of the nature that contains the elements of support and of wake-up call that I need? Or it is ilm, though legitimate, but that works more on some other aspects of my consciousness in life, such as I'm seeking ilm, but ilm that sharpens my, say, rational skills, my logic, my ability to build a car, my ability to do trade and business, my ability to do commerce, my ability sometimes simply to reason in the science of diversity in Islamic law, ilm al khilaf. You know, am I learning that ilm, but it's ilm about, you know, how to debate issues in Sharia and how to attain how to win the battle in between my fiqh and their fiqh? Am I sharpening my skills of usul al-fiqh for the logic of fiqh? Am I sharpening my skills, let's say, in textual criticism? All of which are good ulum, but some of those ulum may not be contributing in some instances for many or some individuals in improving the state of the qalb. Sometimes, in some instances, it only worsens it. that it only keeps on building the sense of vanity, the sense of arrogance. The qalb becomes more sicker, that means the nafs is being strengthened by some type of ulum that I learn. Not because of the fault of the ulum, but because of the fault of my state in which I am, for which that ilm I'm not ready for. Because if I take it in that state, it will accentuate my marav, it will worsen my disease. Like if someone is sick and takes a medication, which is good medication, but not for that sickness, then guess what? It could make it worse, it could kill him. I should look at that. What type of ilm I am nurturing, I'm learning, what type of halqat I'm attending, what are we learning, what type of Islamic activities I'm attending, what is the relationship with my nafs and with my qalb. Not every ilm is to be learned by everybody under all circumstances. لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. And therefore, maybe the reason lies there first. The regularity of my diet, of my ilm, and the nature and the type of ilm I am nurturing myself with. If it is not regular enough, again, it would not be as beneficial. While the onslaught of the nafs is incessant and uninterrupting, it's there all the time. The nafs, it is well established. It is never in a neutral state, that type of nafs that we're talking about. إِلَّا تَشْغَلْهَا شَغَلَتْكَ إِلَّا تَرْكَبْهَا رَكَبَتْكَ. The nafs, if you don't keep it busy, it will keep you busy. If you don't mount it, it will mount you. There is no give me respite. There is no respite. It doesn't give respite, nor does shaitan give respite. So if I have long periods of relaxation, no ilm and no proper diet of ilm, then I weaken. I continue to weaken. And the regular diet of ilm, subhanallah, has been proven, walillahi alhamd, especially for a person desiring, walillahi alhamd, Satash, all of yourselves, my dear brothers and sisters, I pray that that will be instrumental. It will, regular diet of ilm bi idhnillah. It sometimes lies there. I underline the two words, regular and diet. Then the fault sometimes is it is not regular enough. Alhamdulillah, number two, it is the wrong diet. Number two, well, what if the question, I'm doing all of that. I'm doing all of that. And usually if someone says, I'm doing all of that, yani, then it shows that she is or he is not doing all of that. And it is rare that that happens. Because to reach a steady state of a regular diet of ilm is a process itself. Sometimes it's a mujahada, but the least demanding of mujahadat, alhamdulillah. The least demanding of mujahadat. Allah made it easy, subhanAllah, tabi'atan. The least demanding of mujahadat. And if it is so, then the extent of my tawbah. The extent of my tawbah. Maybe I have never become conscious of that tawbah. Maybe that ilm that I am acquiring, I have not spent time to reflect in its content. I have never spent time in order that I absorb that ilm well, understand it well, interiorize it inside of me. Many of us who learn things and active and are moving, etc., etc., do not spend time to sit and absorb knowledge and interiorize it and think about it. Other, if we don't do that, the ulama, al-arifun, rahimahumullah ta'ala, those who walk this path, say, and it is experienced, that ilm will not bear fruits. And the greatest fruit of which is what? Tawbah. A strong burst of tawbah. And sometimes, I am lacking that, those moments of reflection, those moments of khalawat, for tafakkur, to interiorize what I know, to see whether what I know here is going inside of me in my qalb here, to make myself the object of that ilm, not take that ilm to share it with others. That's what we do oftentimes. I learn to teach. That's the wrong attitude. I know. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. To learn not to teach, to learn not for da'wah, to learn so that I interiorize what I know. What does this mean to me and in my life? Where am I about this? How much of that have I practiced and am I practicing inwardly and outwardly? That sometimes is missing. So I am weak. My nafs has not weakened. My qalb is weak. I don't have that momentum and that energy is yet to be built up for countering the nafs and for doing the right things. It is there. It could be just there. That burst of tawbah is yet to be. And tawbah doesn't come without reflection. Generally, tawbah does not come without taking the ilm and spending times alone to reflect on that ilm as it relates to my situation and my state. Sometimes the reason is that, and of course, if there is strong tawbah or good tawbah as a result of that type of regular diet of ilm, then the problem of mujahada is less stringent on me, less challenging, becomes easier. The more difficult it is, the more I am even not here in this level, not even at the level of a strong burst of tawbah, because that ilm has not been regular and has not been the proper diet, and I have not been in reflections. The support mechanisms of mujahada, in other words, mujahada will not stand on its feet if those mechanisms that you have, that we have been talking about, are not there. They are the columns, the arkan, if you will, of mujahada itself. They are the arkan of mujahada itself. Mujahada will be difficult for me if I keep talking too much. Legitimate talking. I know this is one of the most difficult things to grasp and to understand and to practice, because the strongest shahwa we have is speaking. Worse than the sexual shahwa, they say, is speaking. Weakens the resolve of the nafs and adds many other ailments to the qalb. The support mechanism of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not be there. That support, that structure is not there. The mujahada is weak. It falls. There is no constant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes why I feel very weak. And I speak all the worldly words and less dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have talked previously of some of the afat, of the ailments of speaking. Please go back to that and maybe spend time in reviewing them through the works of our great teachers, rahimahullah ta'ala, who spoke about that most eloquently through the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah and their own experiences and the experiences of abundant many more teachers, rahimahullah ta'ala, and practitioners. Maybe that's what it is. We talk too much. And speaking weakens the qalb and strengthens the nafs. You will never find in the history, apparently, of those who, mashallah, Allah Azza wa Jal granted them such nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who got to that level and who were talkative. by the time they were at that level, they were just like devoid of speaking abilities. Yet when they spoke gems and pearls. If you see them, you say, these are dumb people. They don't know how to talk. Because they don't speak. When everybody speaks and wants to speak. But when they speak, then you hear and you read gems and pearls only. It lies there sometimes. It lies in the absence of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the less dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more I'm going to speak of other words that are worldly and superfluous and harmful. And my resolve will weaken, ya ibadallah. My resolve of mujahada will weaken. And the other elements. Though I would, in the experience, Allah ta'ala alam, the question of eating and the question of sleeping is less of a very strong support than the rest. In other words, you may find some people who eat well, moderately well, but alhamdulillah, they have strong mujahada. Who sleep moderately well, but they have strong mujahada. But you do not find people with strong mujahada with less dhikr, with more talking, and with less khalwa. You don't. If people are too much intermingling, ila rizalik, which sometimes the person doesn't judge by himself or herself, he has to be told by a teacher whether you are speaking too much and whether you are too much intermingling. That the absence of dhikr, the absence of khalwa, and the absence of samt, usually if present, you do not find that person in serious mujahada. They are very, very strong pillars and columns that support the mujahada. You speak too much, the mujahada will weaken markedly. It will be very obvious. We spend too much time in mingling. The mujahada will drastically and remarkably weaken. More so than our habits of eating and sleeping, if they are not too excessive. Because you did find people who weighed heavy and were very wise. Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani, you know, the companion of Abu Hanifa. I think it is said, I heard this related to me by a scholar, that Imam al-Shafi'i had said, I have never met any heavy person as wise as Abu al-Hasan al-Shaybani. Because eating much and heavy weight is not associated with aql and hikmah in the sense we are talking about. Yet, there are some exceptions, signifying that that element does not weigh as heavily as the elements of khalwa, the elements of dhikr, and the elements of samt. And those are easily available, aren't they? You don't have to struggle for a shahwa of يعني of wal'iyad billah ma'asiyah like you would have you wouldn't have to struggle for being in dhikr like you would have to struggle for indulging in shahwa of zina wal'iyad billah or shahwa of hawa of the so many other kinds that you know of. Dhikr is made easy. The easiest thing, and there is a hikmah why dhikr is very easy and easily accessible. So that this process that Allah requires from us is initiated, is ignited, and we need to start, and Allah will push us to continue. And to ignite that is one of the easiest accessible things. Dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Khalwa. Samt. Ilm. Access of ilm. Regular light of ilm. And we find it in the absence of this more difficult. So I look at my scheme, at my system here, and I see which one is missing. And sometimes get someone else to help me, who knows the system very well, has been practicing it at least for some time, and to watch my schedule of life and my habits and where am I missing. That's why sometimes a teacher is necessary for these things. The other thing I want to say also, my dear brothers and sisters, pertaining difficulties, and this is even, shall I say, more challenging, or in a sense, sometimes beyond one's control to a certain extent. What makes mujahada also difficult, in addition to all of these things? The environment. In one word, the environment. I am not going to go and put myself, if I have a wound, and I go into a swamp, and I start swimming in the swamp with that infected wound. I choose an environment. And the environment that are around, that we sometimes choose, or most of the time we choose, regardless if it's of job or other reasons, we still have a choice. We choose environments. And I say to myself, or I say to my teacher, or to my brothers and sisters, I'm trying, but I'm failing. And yet at the same time, I want to keep everything else I have. I want to keep the same type of environment I have in my house. Environment starts by at house and outside. In my house, the environment inside the house that is weakening to the nafs. Weakening to the qalb and strengthening of the nafs and of the desires, the shahawat of the nafs. And I put myself and I go in environments outside, communal and societal, social and so on, that will only weaken my resolve. And I complain that I'm unable to, yet I want to. And it is like a person who says, this wound is infected, is it going to kill you? He says, no, alhamdulillah, I have made the decision, I want to heal. And I show you that, and I'm going to show you that, look where I go. And I go into a swamp, swimming. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? That's a swamp. It will kill you. Well, you know, I have to. It will kill you. It will kill you doesn't come at all. It's just like, didn't hear it. That means also, what makes it difficult, the mujahada, is the environment in which I put myself in. And sometimes it's very global. What makes mujahada difficult, I put it in these other terms, availability. Availability. Accessibility. To have something available. Remember, it does not mean that you are asked to take it. Just it's available. Then you have access to it. You're not invited yet. Availability makes mujahada more difficult. Accessibility of that which is itself infecting, i.e. the haram, the makruh, the mutashabih and so on, that which animate the shahwa inside of us and the hawa inside of us, that which animate the lower nafs. Availability. Having access to that, accessibility. Then you have invitation. You're invited. After exposure to that, I would say even exposure comes before invitation. You're exposed to it. And then you're invited to it. And then, if you take that course, you're awarded and rewarded. And I'm not speaking only at individual levels. Take this as now an institutionalized culture of availability accessibility, of invitation, and of reward and award. And if you don't, you're not awarded, you're not rewarded, or you are, in a sense, punished. If you indulge in this style of life, then you have the awards and the rewards and the friends and the authority and the power. But if you don't get any of those. That's the last element, the award. And it is done systematically in a very silent mode, legal mode, accepted, that ultimately its intent is to completely make the abd of the nafs. And therefore to make the path to the qalb difficult. With time, it will take its toll. It's just a matter of time. And therefore we choose environments and we choose communities and we choose laws and we pass laws, etc. Ultimately and gradually that will support and that will strengthen this direction in life. Making more available the elements of shahwa and of hawa, more accessible, more legal, and so on and so forth. And more rewarding, and more rewarding, until everybody indulges in that. And then add to that the company. The company, that is the pressure coming from the company. That is the friends, the family, etc., who are themselves indulging into those same things. Being with them makes things available, makes things accessible, makes things invitational, and it makes all of the mujahada also more difficult. Versus if none of that were available nor accessible to my external senses. If I don't know something, I don't look for it. Correct? If I don't know something, I don't look for it. If I've never known something, it will not create inside of me a preoccupation, a concern for it. I won't search for it. That's why the idea of accessibility and making things accessible in a systematic approach is an intent. It's intended for a certain culture of a country or of a society or of the world. And I fear, in my opinion, that globalization that we talk about is a globalization that is not about freedom. Freedom as we all want freedom, but what does freedom mean? We all want freedom, but what does freedom mean? Freedom from what and of what? And the idea of globalization is that this culture of availability, of the nafs culture, is to be made available and accessible globally. Until, in a sense, one has artificially a choice. But that choice is completely that choice is channeled towards a specific choice by making sure that there is availability and accessibility to that which will strengthen the other choice in me by the pressures that exist. And you put yourself in any environment that lives in a certain mode and is like that every hour, and you are not like that, the chances are 90% or more perhaps that you will with time change without anybody quote unquote coercing you at the tip of the sword. You will. by availability, accessibility, you know, invitation, and by the company that one is with. And that's why mujahada is weaker. Because of that. What to do about that? What to do about that? Now? Stay away from it. How can you stay away from it? It's there everywhere. There are certain things, there are some drastic decisions sometimes. مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُتْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. If you can't get everything, if you can't get something 100%, we shouldn't give it up 100%. If you can get 50%, let's get 50%. If you can get 90%, let's get 90%. If I can pull myself from those invitations and not to expose my senses to those available elements that will weaken my mujahada, which have become available everywhere, then I must begin by pulling myself away from them. That which I can immediately do. Availability and exposure and accessibility and invitation all are done through something we all have at home. We bring it at home, which is called Aina, that electronic box. We invite all of those in our own home. Availability, accessibility, keep watching that. And then we say, mujahada is very difficult for me. Which is true, wallahi innahu haqq. I'm having it at home. Sometimes I have noticed, alhamdulillah to a certain extent, but look at the irony of this. Some parents, after they begin to learn of the ailments of television and the lack of haya and the many other things, now it's getting, of course, worse. And now it's like most of the programs it's debasing human intellect. So the solution is, because of lack of haya and so on, the parents, how could you watch those programs with your children? And then when you grow and you and your children without haya and with attachment to dunya and to umur like zina and the precursors to zina and selfishness and so on, you wonder how. And you were there and I was there with my child watching a scene that is haram, let alone or makruh. Nowadays we don't look at them. There's nothing wrong, alhamdulillah, it was just a basketball game. There's nothing wrong, nothing haram, alhamdulillah. Really? What about the cheerleaders? What about those scenes? Is that haram or makruh? Or mutashabih? That's haram, obviously. And here I am with my son, and I am with my daughter, watching the same thing, killing haya. Killing haya. And then I wonder why. Later on, my child is like this, and I'm like this, and he's like that, and she's like that. After having been nurtured with all of those for such a long time. Let alone, يعني, other programs, إلى غير ذلك. That we can do. We can't do everything. We cannot, unfortunately, some, if they could go to an environment that is cleaner overall, we should and we must. But I cannot change the streets of New York City and the availability and the accessibility. I cannot change the course of capitalism and the idea of open market and globalism. An open market. You've got to open your markets, otherwise we'll open it by force. You've got to open your markets, otherwise it will be opened by force. Markets for free trade. trade in everything. And making sure that the culture of the consumerist nafs, not only electronic equipments and this and that, but you have to buy everything comes with it. And it has to be global. You don't, well, you run the risk of intervention. That's one. Because there is a culture that wants to be imposed. The culture of behemoth. The culture of the lowerness. The culture of that time of happiness. Hedonism, as many of our fellow friends and brothers, non-Muslims also describe it. Hedonism. Materialism, consumerism, immediacy, greed, that will lead ultimately to the demise of the human race. Well, I cannot change New York City streets. I cannot change the system, Bilal Valley. I cannot, because it will continue. Ila an yasha Allah. But there are things I can change. I can change having a television at home. Alhamdulillah, so far, at least there is no law that says you have to have a television. But guess what? There are other things that have been made mandatory without such law. And I knew that years ago, some 15 or 20 years ago, I knew that computers will be mandatory in schools. Before personal computers began to be sold, there were some signs, and I started to observe that, وَقَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَشَاءَ, it has become so. The marketing power, the intent behind why, which is again to send or to prepare or to enforce a certain culture and a certain type of civilization. Now in schools, in many schools, you have to have what? Television, which is called a laptop. It's a television. Laptop is a television. You have to have a laptop. Now with laptop you have access. Now access, huh? Access not only to, now television has become like a zuhud. To have a television is an act of zuhud versus having a laptop. Right? Because now laptop takes you into all the accesses of the world of hedonism. And a young child who is not allowed to watch television, who is allowed to have a laptop or a computer and an internet, and has learned, 7 years of age, to have access to pornography. I'm going to put it this big. So you have to have computers. I don't need a computer to learn. No, you do. You do, until it becomes a must in that way. And therefore you are forced in this way, in this metaphorical push, not physical push, you're forced now to have access with your mind and with your qalb and with your nafs to these things, and therefore knowing by so-called, you know, the psychology of human behavior and conduct, that you will change. If you don't change 100% of people, we know it will change the majority. There will always be people, 30%, 20%, 10%, 15%, 5%, who would still be perhaps safe from that, maybe 1%. But overall, statistically, it will impact most. Why my Mujahada is weak? This is why my Mujahada is weak. In addition to what we said, availability, and I make it available for me. There are certain things I can have control over. Well, alhamdulillah, still. And this is fitna. You don't know what happens in 10 years and 50 years. In certain times where fitna will be everywhere. يعني تدعو العقلان العقل حيرانا. Fitna that will make the wisest wonder in awe. Fitan, they continue to be. Until perhaps one day, the fitan are such that yani, you almost have no choice in anything. But that came gradually as human beings allowed themselves to be in certain situations and take certain routes and allow this moral entropy to increase. There are things I can control at home, in the masjid, in the community, which we don't do. Diminish from that access to my senses, to my external senses, and consequently my heart and my nafs, my dear brothers and sisters. Does it make sense? It does make sense. It is sense. Wallahi al-azim, it seems that one has to take this super seriously. شمر على ساعديك شمر على ساعديك and take it very seriously. It's a very serious battle. It's a very, very serious battle with this nafs and with the shaitan and with the elements that strengthen that nafs and weaken the qalb. And when we do that, alhamdulillah, we'll be empowered by energy and by momentum to do more, and gradually it becomes easier and easier. And again, the example I like to give again, and I will continue to give, remember when we go up versus when we go down. When we climb uphill, as the mujahada, in the beginning it is very difficult. And the lower downhill we have gone, the more difficult it is to come back up. And going uphill in a physical world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds up again potential energy and decreases kinetic energy. And therefore when we go up in this aqaba that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about also in the Quran, this aqaba, this uphill, when we walk uphill, then our qulub are strengthened and our nufus are weakened. The potential energy, the hidden energy, the concealed energy of the qalb, because it is a higher dimension than the nafs. It's beyond the nafs. That energy is increased. My qalb's energy is increased. And the energy of my nafs, the kinetic energy of my nafs, of indulging the shahwat, the violent energy, is decreased. The more I climb back up, I will build up that energy. And I will decrease the energy of the nafs. The nafs weakens, then the qalb strengthens. And also the opposite leads to the opposite. That if I indulge my nafs, if I do not exert myself in mujahada, if I do not go in opposition to my nafs, I'm indulging the nafs, I'm going along with the nafs, like I'm going downhill in a physical incline, and that will increase my kinetic energy and decrease my potential energy. It will decrease, it will weaken the qalb, that hidden dimension and the higher degree of freedom. It will weaken the qalb and it will strengthen the nafs, the kinetic energy of the nafs. Knowing that should also lend me support, inshaAllah ta'ala, in riding this inshaAllah ta'ala, this road, in walking this road, it should help me with that, inshaAllah ta'ala. Remember also the other parable that we give is that tazkiyatun nafs is about cleansing the qalb, is beautifying the qalb, beautifying ourselves inside. That's our inner image, that's our khuluq. We want to beautify our khuluq. And in analogy to beautifying our khalq, our external image, we want to beautify our internal image. And beautifying our external image cannot take place without that which has become يعني معلوم من الدنيا بالضرورة, right? Are you tired? You're fasting today. We're not going to lunch. Are you tired? Yes. Are you sleepy? I don't even get an answer. All right. So that inner image that I need to develop, that beautiful inner image that I need to develop, needs, in analogy to the external beautiful image I want to have, needs the regular diet of food and exercise. Regular diet, food and exercise. Again, I cannot do it without exercise. No one will. We were created that way. And therefore, to beautify my inner image, I need exercise. And I need a regular diet of food. And the regular diet of food, the food of the qalb, is not bread and biryani. The food of the qalb is ilm. Regular diet of ilm. And the exercise and the training of the nafs is not the physical exercise and the physical muscles, but is that very mujahada of going against the nafs, like when we exercise physically, going against the tendency of the physical body, when it doesn't want to lift, when it doesn't want to run, when it doesn't want to sweat, when it doesn't want to initiate something that requires energy. And the more we do of that, the more we are released, the more we build those physical muscles, and the easier that struggle and the training becomes, until it becomes even enjoyable. And so it is with this mujahada, my dear brothers and sisters. Again, availability, accessibility, invitation, the companionship that I have around me, all of those contribute to either strengthening or weakening the resolve for my tazkiyah, and therefore weaken most likely my mujahada. And that's what I should be looking. Changing what I can change. Removing the availabilities that I can remove. I can, meaning there is no law that says you have to. That's what I mean by I can. You're going to tell me I can't because I need it. That's circular reasoning. You need it because your nafs is weak and you need it. I can't, meaning shara says you cannot. It's illegal. You can't have it. I can, as long as shara doesn't say you can't and there's no law against it, then I can. Then I can. And that's what makes it difficult, my dear brothers and sisters. More challenging even than what it seems to be. But challenges will always be, because there is nafs there. And there is access to that which nourishes the nafs, and we must block access to that. Whatever we can do, we do. And in this we should also seek the advice and the help of our teachers and of those who can help us with that. And where are we in this stage of mujahada and of tazkiyah of our nufus? Certain things, of course, have to be removed immediately. Certain things have to take place, to be done gradually. And we have to begin by those that have to be removed from being available immediately. Then work on gradually into those that have to be removed gradually. Otherwise, there is no difference between outside and inside. Sometimes it's even worse, isn't it? When we have inside of our home, in our privacy, we have the companionship of all the haram. Whereas in public we can't do that because it's public. We can't do that. So khalwa becomes worse than being in public. Some khalwa. But I'm never in khalwa because I'm with all the with all that accessibility and availability and the shayateen of ins and jinn at home, then that's accessibility. And it will weaken me. It will make me weaker and weaker and weaker. There is no doubt about it, my dear brothers and sisters. حَفِظَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَإِيَانَا. I think I stop here. There are still more to say, and I will try to say that either tomorrow or Monday, or during some of the khawadir that we have left, inshaAllah ta'ala. And there are a few more concepts that we need to share in this realm of mujahada, and also try to answer some of your questions, inshaAllah ta'ala, that you have. But I think this is the main question, is why I am weak. What is happening? This is what is happening. And I should take very serious note of that and begin working on removing the obstacles from my way. Otherwise, it will not work. Most likely. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He will send later on a breeze from him of his rahmah. And that we don't know. We do what he commands us to do. And then the tawfiq, and when the breeze comes, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the asi, and for the murid. We don't own Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. For the sinner, and for the one who desires Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The breeze may come for a sinner earlier than someone else. That's Allah's knowledge and Allah's choice. But we don't base ourselves on that. Mujahada is not that. Mujahada is you do. And it is wajib, my dear brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin kama sallaita wa sallam.